Married at First Sight. Chapter 4089. Spencer smiled and gently patted Abby's head again. Thank you, Abby. Matters of the heart are something only you can handle. The second pat on Abby's head felt far too intimate for Evan's liking. A burning jealousy stirred in his chest as he watched. In that moment, Evan wanted nothing more than to chop off Spencer's hand and throw it to the dogs. He had never touched Abby's head before, not even once. The most he'd ever done was hold her hand. Back when Abby had been wearing the guise of Fox, they had shared countless moments of tension, arguments, and even close encounters. But nothing that crossed the boundary into intimacy. Now, watching Spencer's casual touch, Evan couldn't help but seethe with envy. Yet, he kept his emotions in check. He wasn't reckless enough to push Spencer away, not yet. After all, Spencer's mother and Mrs. Dew were lifelong friends, a bond that predated Evan's connection to Abby. Evan knew he wasn't in a position to act impulsively. Instead, he played it cool. Silently, he picked up Spencer's suitcase and trailed behind the two of them, letting them enjoy their reunion. He didn't say a word, choosing to remain thoughtful and unintrusive as they walked. Before long, Abby led the two men into a nearby fast food restaurant. Once they were seated, Evan rolled Spencer's suitcase to his side, signaling that he should take care of it himself. The three of them placed their orders and waited for the food to arrive. Spencer glanced at Evan and asked casually, "So, is your corporation thriving in this market?" Evan, ever composed, replied, "I've been handling a small segment of our business here. My eldest brother sent me to develop the market and expand our operations locally." Of course, Evan's primary reason for being here wasn't business. He was here for Abby. But admitting that in front of Spencer wasn't an option. Evan needed to uphold the image of a successful businessman, someone equal to Spencer in stature. From Abby, Evan already knew that Spencer was a highly accomplished, well-traveled professional. And Evan wasn't about to let himself be overshadowed. Spencer nodded thoughtfully. "Maybe we'll have an opportunity to collaborate in the future." "Of course," Evan agreed smoothly. Abby poured tea for both men, interrupting their conversation. "Brother Spencer, it's Saturday. You're taking 2 days off before starting work, right?" "No business talk yet." She turned to Evan with a gentle smile. "And you, Mr. York, still haven't fully recovered. Your cold is bad, your voice is hoarse, and you need rest. Brother Spencer, try not to make him talk too much." She added teasingly, "Honestly, his voice is so hoarse, it's painful to listen to." Spencer chuckled and raised an eyebrow. "Just admit it, Abby, you're worried about him." "It's obvious." "You don't have to phrase it like that. Mr. York might get his feelings hurt." He turned to Evan with a friendly grin. "Mr. York, don't take it personally. Abby's kind-hearted and beautiful, but she does have a sharp tongue. She doesn't mean any harm." Spencer's outward smile masked his inner realization Abby truly cared for Evan. And since Spencer saw Abby as nothing more than a sister, he felt a sense of relief. Abby had found someone she loved, and Evan seemed like a man worthy of her affection. With that thought, Spencer's smile became more genuine. Evan, however, couldn't take his eyes off Abby. His gaze softened, filled with warmth and tenderness. "I know Abby means well," he said gently. "She's just looking out for me, not trying to bruise my ego." Abby shot Evan a pointed look. "Don't flatter yourself." Evan chuckled, amused. Unable to resist, Abby rolled her eyes at him before playfully pinching his arm. Their food arrived shortly after, and the table settled into a comfortable rhythm. Spencer noticed how light Evan's meal was and asked, "Mr. York, is that all you're eating? Your meal looks so plain." Abby chimed in before Evan could respond. "People from Wiltspoon prefer lighter food. Besides, his cold hasn't fully cleared up, so it's better for him to stick with something mild." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4090. Chapter 4090. Seeing how Abby always seemed to defend Evan, Spencer chose not to say anything further. As they ate, the three of them chatted. Well, it was mostly Spencer and Abby talking, while Evan could barely get a word in. Occasionally, Abby would direct a comment his way, but her focus stayed on Spencer. Suddenly, Abby's phone rang. Pulling it out, she glanced at the caller ID. "It's Victoria," she said to Spencer. "She's probably calling to check if you've arrived." The smile on Spencer's face faded slightly. "I posted on Moments as soon as I landed. She should already know I arrived safely." Abby shot Spencer a glare before answering the call. "Victoria, I just heard from Brother Spencer. He's arrived safely." Right from the start, Abby assured Victoria of Spencer's safe arrival. Victoria's voice came through, calm but laced with something unspoken. "Oh, I wasn't calling about that. I just thought you'd have some free time on the weekend, so I figured I'd call and chat." Despite her denial, Victoria's concern for Spencer was clear. She'd seen Spencer's Moments post but didn't comment or leave a like. Instead, she scrolled past it, pretending it didn't affect her. Yet here she was, unable to resist calling Abby to check on him. Inside, Victoria was frustrated with herself. She had promised to forget about Spencer, but the moment he left, she began to miss him terribly. The urge to see him again gnawed at her. But then she reminded herself of reality. Spencer hadn't even informed her of his return. He hadn't asked her to see him off at the airport, and he had only shared a public post. The thought stung, making her heart ache all over again. Victoria's family wasn't supportive of her relationship with Spencer either. They worried she and her family's struggles would only burden him. It wasn't until Victoria's aunt confronted her that she learned how much her father had borrowed from Spencer. Her father had kept her in the dark, taking substantial loans from Spencer to try and save the family business. Victoria had done everything she could to help her family, even exhausting her savings. She thought their financial troubles were behind them. But the truth was, her father's business was still struggling, the debts had piled up, and bankruptcy loomed. The realization was devastating. She knew her family's situation would only drag Spencer down, and she couldn't allow that to happen. Spencer had never explicitly said he loved her. To the outside world, they were childhood sweethearts with a bond that ran deep. But perhaps Spencer saw her only as a close friend, like a sibling. It was painful to accept, but Victoria had made peace with it. She even began to believe that Spencer might be better off with someone else like Abby. Abby brought her focus back to the present. "Brother Spencer and I are grabbing dinner at the airport restaurant. It'll take another hour or two to get back to the city, so we thought we'd eat first. I'll call you once I'm home. Do you want to say anything to Brother Spencer?" Victoria's voice was steady but firm. "I called to talk to you, not him. I have nothing to say." Her words were sharp, but the truth was far more complicated. "All right, we'll finish eating, and I'll call you later," Abby said. "Okay." Victoria hung up quickly, ending the call before she could reveal too much. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4091. Chapter 4091. After Victoria hung up, Abby shot Spencer a sharp glare. Spencer, looking utterly puzzled, asked, "Abby, why are you looking at me like that? What did I do wrong?" "Brother Spencer, you didn't technically do anything wrong," Abby said, her tone laced with frustration. "But I understand why Victoria's disappointed and why she said she'd leave you to me. You won't even call her or send her a message. All you did was post to your circle of friends. What if she blocks you there? She wouldn't see anything." Spencer hesitated, instinctively responding, "She wouldn't block me, right? I mean, if she did." He trailed off, suddenly unsure of himself. Evan, quietly observing their exchange, quickly pegged Spencer as indecisive when it came to relationships. This guy doesn't seem like much of a threat, Evan thought. Still, he stayed cautious, keeping Spencer firmly in the category of potential rival. Abby didn't let Spencer off the hook, pressing on. If Victoria blocked your circle of friends, it means she's one step away from blacklisting and deleting you altogether. Spencer's face fell, the shift in his expression betraying how much he cared. Brother Spencer, it's simple. If you won't even send her a message or make a call, then you're essentially pushing Victoria out of your life. Are you really okay with breaking up and never speaking to her again? Spencer's complexion turned even paler. Breaking up? Never speaking again? That wasn't what he wanted. He was just lost. Unsure of how to navigate things with Victoria. That's why he couldn't bring himself to text or call her. Posting to his circle of friends felt safer. He figured Victoria checked it regularly, and if he posted something, she'd see it. At least she'd know he was okay. Beyond that, he hadn't given it much thought. Abby, let's eat first, Evan interjected, breaking the tension. Mr. Choinard just got back, and you said he wanted to leave right away. His tone was calm but firm, a gentle reminder to focus on the meal instead of dissecting Spencer and Victoria's relationship at the table. Abby sighed, giving Evan a meaningful look. He understood immediately. Let's eat, he said. We'll deal with everything after we're done. Abby nodded but turned back to Spencer. Brother Spencer, let me know when you've made up your mind. Spencer looked at her but stayed silent. Abby pressed on. I really like Victoria. If your feelings for her are just friendly, then I'll help my eldest cousin win her over. I'd love for her to be my sister-in-law. Spencer's expression darkened. Your eldest cousin? Isn't he older than me? Even if he's not married yet, shouldn't he at least have a girlfriend by now? Is something wrong with him? Or, does he like men? He's not exactly young anymore, you know. Abby's face twitched in exasperation. My eldest cousin is perfectly fine. He's absolutely a normal man. Victoria is my mother's goddaughter, my godsister. Why would I introduce her to someone unsuitable? And for the record, she continued, her voice rising slightly, there's no one in the Dew family who's bad. It's not about lacking ability, they just don't settle for less. I wouldn't dream of introducing Victoria to someone unworthy. If you don't want to be with her, Brother Spencer, I'll step in and bring my eldest cousin and Victoria together. No matter what's happening with her family's company, my Dew group will back her up. I won't let my eldest cousin stand by and do nothing. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4092. Chapter 4092. Spencer said, Abby, I'm not some heartless or ungrateful person. He had done his best to help Victoria's family. The real issue was his parents. They believed Victoria's family business was struggling and worried it would become a burden on him. Because of this, they stopped supporting his relationship with her. His mother's constant nagging only made things worse. Hearing it every day wore him down, leaving him confused and unsure of what to do. Adding to the turmoil, Spencer hadn't sorted out his own feelings. Was his bond with Victoria just friendship, or was it love? When things got overwhelming, his company assigned him to return to Huionaville to take over the domestic business. He saw it as an opportunity to step back and reflect. Did he love Victoria, or were they simply childhood friends? But when Abby mentioned pairing Victoria with the eldest young master of the Dew family, Spencer felt a pang of panic. That fear of losing her clarified his feelings. He realized he wasn't just fond of Victoria, he loved her. Evan chimed in, saying, Mr. Choinard, Abby told me you and Victoria have been childhood sweethearts for over 20 years. That kind of history comes with layers of family affection, friendship, and love all mixed together. It's no wonder you're feeling conflicted. But if the thought of breaking up with her hurts, then it's clear how you feel. When you truly love someone and they're worthy of your love, no obstacle is too great. You'll work through anything together to stay by their side. For me, once I fall for someone, nothing about her, her circumstances, her identity, or any changes in her life could make me give up on her. If she faces challenges, I'll do whatever it takes to help her overcome them. As Evan finished speaking, he fixed his gaze on Abby, his eyes filled with intensity. It was clear he was confessing his feelings to her. Abby, however, didn't respond. She didn't even look at him. Instead, she silently focused on her meal. Her lack of response didn't discourage Evan. He was confident that she understood what he meant. The three finished their meal, each lost in their own thoughts. Evan went to pay the bill. After lingering in the restaurant for a few more minutes, the trio headed out and walked to the parking lot. Evan carried Spencer's suitcase as they made their way to the car. He kept a deliberate distance, slowing his pace to give Abby and Spencer some space to talk. Evan wanted Abby to feel assured. Even if they were together, she would still have her independence, her own space to interact freely with others. He trusted her. Abby was sensible, and he believed she wouldn't do anything to betray that trust. Once they were in the car, Spencer, looking tired, said to Abby, "Abby, I'm going to take a nap. Wake me up when we get home." Abby, seated in the passenger seat, turned to look at him and said, "Rest up, brother Spencer. I'll wake you when we're home." Spencer quickly fell asleep. About half an hour into the drive, Evan glanced at Abby and asked, "Is your brother Spencer asleep?" Abby turned to check on Spencer, then replied, "Yeah, he's asleep. Why do you ask?" Evan shrugged. "No reason. I'm just curious about him and Victoria. You said they were childhood sweethearts, but now they're having issues. Is it because of problems with Victoria's family business? If that's the reason they're not together, it's kind of a shame." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4093. Chapter 4093. Abby sighed softly and murmured, "If that's really the reason, then maybe it's better for them to cut ties completely. The Chouinard family already looks down on Victoria. Even if Brother Spencer insists on being with her, she'll face constant disapproval from her in-laws after marrying into his family. A woman who isn't accepted by her in-laws will have a hard time. Unless she doesn't live with them and her husband supports her unconditionally, she'll constantly feel out of place. Otherwise, it's just a recipe for conflict. Small arguments will happen every few days, and big fights will follow shortly after. Even the strongest relationships can fall apart under that kind of pressure." Evan frowned slightly and asked, "If that's how you feel, why are you still pushing for them to stay together? Are you worried that the elders will try to match you and Spencer instead?" Abby shot him a wry smile. "That's just wishful thinking on your part, isn't it? Don't flatter yourself. I loved you once, sure, but you made it clear I wasn't the one you wanted. We've moved on from that completely. At best, we're just friends now. And the only reason I'm even nice to you is out of respect for your grandmother." "Abby, I'm sorry," Evan said quietly. He didn't try to explain further, offering only a simple apology. His response left Abby at a loss for words. "I just want Brother Spencer and Victoria to make their decision without regrets," she finally said. "If they can decide to face the challenges together, they'll figure it out. The two families have known each other for decades, and both mothers have been best friends for just as long. If Spencer and Victoria stand united, the elders will eventually respect their choice. Victoria wouldn't have to suffer in the Chouinard family. I'd make sure of that. I can help her family through their difficulties. I wouldn't let her be put in a position where she feels inferior in Spencer's home. She's like a sister to me, and Spencer is my brother. They're both incredibly important to me." Evan nodded thoughtfully. "That makes sense. Missing out on love can leave a person with regrets for the rest of their life." Abby leaned back in her seat, her voice softening. "I'm going to nap for a bit. Wake us both when we get home." Evan smiled. All right, go ahead and rest. Abby tilted her head, her gaze lingering on him for a moment. How are you this good looking? Even your side profile is so perfect, it's ridiculous. Evan chuckled, his tone playful. It's so I can be worthy of you. Abby rolled her eyes and shook her head. I don't even know why I bother talking to you. With that, she closed her eyes, ending the conversation. Jensberg. The gates to the Farrell family mansion were wide open. Since Clarissa's death, the gates were rarely left like this. It was unusual to see them open during the day. Normally, the gates were only opened when Catherine returned. She'd drive her car in, and they'd shut immediately behind her. But despite being back in her family home, Catherine had never truly felt like she belonged there. She hadn't grown up with her biological parents. In fact, she'd only lived in the Farrell family mansion for 2 or 3 years, and the place still didn't feel like home. Married at First Sight Chapter 4094. Chapter 4094. When Catherine first returned to the Farrell family, her parents were blatantly biased toward Shiloh. Her brothers and sisters-in-law only showed her superficial kindness, and she never felt any warmth in this house. It was an environment she struggled to adjust to. Still, as Clarissa's biological daughter, Catherine had no choice but to endure and stay there. Because of this, Catherine never developed a deep emotional attachment to the Farrell family mansion. The brothers didn't feel strongly about the mansion either. They all knew the Farrell family mansion wasn't a place they could stay forever. Even so, it was the house where they were born and raised. Many of them had spent 30 to 40 years here, even after getting married. To say they had no attachment at all would be a lie. Now, with Catherine taking charge, they couldn't shake the feeling that she was about to hand over their home to someone else. Last night, Jensberg had its first snowfall of the new year, leaving everything blanketed in white. The servants had already cleared the snow from the driveway, making it easier for cars to come and go. Catherine stood at the mansion's entrance, dressed in a stunning red gown and draped in a luxurious red fox fur cape. Pedro, dressed in black, stood quietly beside her. After a while, several cars slowly pulled up in front of the mansion. The lead car, carrying bodyguards, came to a stop. The guards stepped out first, scanning the area. Liberty soon emerged from the second car. Liberty, you're here. Catherine smiled warmly as she walked toward her. Liberty returned the smile and approached Catherine. Soon, the two stood face to face. Looking Catherine up and down, Liberty smiled and said, "Catherine, you look absolutely stunning today. That red dress really makes you shine against the snowy backdrop." Catherine laughed softly. "Oh? Am I not beautiful every other day?" "You're always beautiful, but today is exceptional," Liberty teased. Then she turned to Pedro with a playful grin and said, "Mr. Fraser, don't you think Catherine looks especially captivating today? Has she swept you off your feet?" Pedro's eyes lit up as he looked at Catherine. His voice was gentle as he replied, "To me, the young lady is always the most beautiful. No matter what she wears, she's breathtaking." Catherine rolled her eyes at Liberty and said, "Liberty, you're getting too bold. Don't forget, I'm your elder. Teasing me like this is hardly respectful." Despite her words, Catherine affectionately looped her arm through Liberty's. "Come on, let's go inside. Did you pack everything and bring it with you? From now on, this is your home, your territory. I've invited the family elders to dinner tonight. We'll discuss everything and pick a good day for you to lead the clan in worshipping the ancestors. Once that's done, the handover will be complete. Liberty would officially become the new head of the Jensberg Farrell family after leading the clan in the ancestral worship ceremony." The two women walked into the mansion, chatting as they went. Pedro and Liberty's bodyguards trailed behind them. Liberty's bodyguard team had originally been Catherine's. Years ago, the eldest master officially reassigned the team to Liberty. Catherine had been a bit upset about the transfer, but Liberty eased the blow by offering higher salaries and promising to help the guards find good matches for marriage. Pedro, like the others, quickly warmed up to the idea. Liberty's assurances that she'd help him settle down made him embrace the transition wholeheartedly. After all, there were plenty of beautiful women in Jensburg. Before, Catherine and the other guards had avoided dating. As personal bodyguards to the eldest master, they were constantly under his watch. Many people had tried to use them as a way to get closer to the master, and none of the guards wanted to fall victim to such schemes. But seeing the passionate and enduring love of the eldest master and the other young masters had stirred something in Pedro. He, too, wanted to experience love. His mother frequently reminded him that it was time to settle down and get married. "Catherine, don't rush it. I'm still getting a full grasp of the company's situation. There's a lot I don't understand yet. We can discuss it once I've settled in," Liberty said, her tone steady. Liberty wasn't in any rush to take full control of the Farrell family's affairs. Though the Farrell group wasn't as strong as it once was, it was still much larger than the businesses and restaurants Liberty had run on her own. The company, with its decades-long history, also had its share of unresolved issues. She knew that she and Catherine would need to collaborate closely to work through them.